morning and reaping some comments from some of the members about my being out there and, you know, why was I out there? Well, I just enjoying the morning out there and seeing cars turning into Oak Grove this morning. I'm like, yeah, God's blessing us again today. It's going to be a wonderful time in our service and in our worship to Him today. And so glad you came. For those who are our guests today, welcome, welcome, welcome to Oak Grove. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. There you go. Amen. So thankful that you're here. We hope that, as it's been mentioned a couple of times, you see a guest card there in front of you. We'd like for you to fill it out and leave us a record of your visit with us. God has been blessing. We're so thankful. There are folks who are as we mentioned, those who are sick and who are having surgeries, and God has been blessing, and there's some healing that's been taking place. This morning, I think it was Sister Martha. I'm not sure if it's Sister Martha or not. I think it was her. She said, for a long time, we've been doing the elbow bump here, you know, because of all the sickness. Now, she said, I'm ready for the hugging to start back. So I'm with her. I'm definitely with her. And it's just good to have that fellowship and enjoy the fellowship. And thankfully, a lot of folks who've been pretty sick over the last few weeks are getting better, and we praise God for that. Y'all are just a good-looking group out there this morning. I tell you, I mean, that, you know, is it my eyes or just what? I mean, y'all are just looking good this morning. You know, I was telling Brother Michael this morning. He's all dressed up in his khaki pants and his striped shirt. I said, man, you're looking good, Michael. And he said, yeah, I do that every now and then. Donna just, you know, put her head down, kept on going. So anyway, but he did. But he does that quite often. He just can't help it. But it's good to see you. And good to be a part of the church family here this morning. And I'm just glad you're here. And I love being here for our worship. I just love being here in the songs. This morning, Clay told us to begin with, we're going to focus on Christ. And that's exactly what we've been doing through our songs this morning. And I enjoyed those. I just love our worship together. And today is the first Sunday in March. Can you believe it? The first Sunday in March. Wow. The first day, first Sunday in March. Well, having said that, giving you an update in case you were wondering about what day it is, April 12th will be Easter Sunday, April the 12th. But during March, we are going to be marching toward the cross. We're going to be marching toward the cross. The official title to this, if you have one, is The Journey to the Cross. And during this time, we're going to be looking at events that took place in the life of Christ during that last week of Christ as He made His way to the cross. There's so many things. It's just, you go back and as you look in each one of the Gospels and see that period of time from the time that Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem until His crucifixion, of course, then the resurrection, it's just power-packed. I mean, it's just so many things that are happening in there. And we're going to be looking at some of those as we march toward the cross, as we journey toward the cross. Imagine that, if you can, being a part of that group daily that was there, hearing Jesus teach, watching Jesus as He interacted with the people. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the heart of the gospel. Just in case, if somebody asks you that, you got the answer. Tell me what is the focus of Oak Grove Church. Tell me what is the focus of the gospel. Well, the Apostle Paul tells us that it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we look in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, he says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. I like those words, don't you? On which you have taken your stand. In other words, I'm not moving from here. This is where I'm at, and this is where I'm going to stay. On which you have taken your stand. I hope we all have here this morning. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance. What would you say is the most important thing, somebody says, about Christianity? Well, Paul answers that. Aren't you glad? He just outs it right there. He says, I passed on to you that which is of first importance. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the heart of the gospel. That is of first importance. Everything else is that which is a result of that great work of Christ on the cross. Amen. Amen. That's it. That is it. Well, as we march toward Easter Sunday, as we march toward that day of resurrection on April the 12th, be thinking about inviting some folks. As a matter of fact, go ahead and do it as we journey toward the cross over the next few weeks. Well, let's begin this journey with Jesus this morning. Let's begin this journey in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. And this is, I just wanted to start here because although this is not, we're not exactly up to the day of the entrance yet, they're on their way to Jerusalem. They're on their way. They've not arrived there yet. And so they're making their journey to Jerusalem. It says they were on their way up to Jerusalem. Look at the next words. This is why I wanted to use this one right here. With Jesus leading the way. Can you picture that in your mind? Here, we know the apostles were there. We know the Bible tells us there were a lot of women who were involved, who were helping in the ministry of Christ. There are a lot of other disciples who are following along. But picture that in your mind. And Jesus is, and all of these folks are making their way to the city of Jerusalem. Jesus knows. As a matter of fact, you look here. It says he took the 12 aside, told them what was going to happen to him. We're going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests, to the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise. Jesus knew that. He takes the time here to stop along the way and to talk to the 12 again. And it says, Jesus was leading the way. That's got to tell us something, folks. He knew where he was going. He knew what was going to happen. And who's out front of this group as we look, as we gaze upon them, as we see them making the... Jesus is out front. He's, you know, after Peter denied Christ, what does it say? He followed afar off. He followed afar off. As Jesus made his way to the cross, he was up front leading the way. There's a message in that for us, I think. Jesus knew what was going to happen, but he knew the results of what was going to take place there for all of humanity, for all of mankind. And Jesus is not following behind. It's not like, come on, Jesus. Come on. If we're going to Jerusalem, Jesus, come on, catch up with us. He's leading the way. That ought to tell you something about his love for us and the intent behind what was going on there. In Mark chapter 11, the journey to the cross begins on this Sunday. The Sunday before Christ's crucifixion. From the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead to get a colt. Jesus said, if anybody asks you about this, what are you doing taking that animal? Just tell him the Lord needs it and we will return it shortly. Jesus said, tell him that, it'll be okay. And so it was. And they brought the colt to Jesus and some threw their cloaks, their outer garments, on the donkey, on the colt, so Jesus could ride this colt, fulfilling the prophecy from Zechariah. And Jesus sat upon it. As they made their way down the road toward Jerusalem, many people spread their cloaks, again, the outer garment, spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread palm branches. And those who went ahead of Jesus, can you see it there? Jesus is riding the donkey, and ahead of Jesus, there's a group, and they're waving the palm branches, and they're saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! This was a phrase of praise. It became a phrase of praise among the Jewish people. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem. He went into the temple courts that day. If you can picture that in your minds as we journey with Jesus. He went into the temple courts that day. And the scripture says he just looked around. He just took it all in. You ever been there? You know what I'm saying? You ever been there and just pictured this in your mind, what's going on? And as maybe there's been some situation in your life where you there was a place that you were headed to, a place where you were going, and it was something special to you. And when you get there, you just take a few minutes to just kind of absorb it all. Just take it in. This has been the house of God. This was a house of prayer, as Jesus will later say. The next day, he's going to say this to the people. A house of prayer for all nations. And Jesus just comes. It's late in the day, and he just takes it all in. He doesn't say anything, really. He doesn't do anything. He just takes it in, and it says, because it was late in the day, they went back out to Bethany. That's on Sunday. Now look at this. Look at this. The next day. Okay, we start on Sunday. Jesus made his way. It's called the triumphal entry. The next day, Monday. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. You ever think of Jesus as being hungry? You ever think of Jesus as being tired? The Bible talks about both of those. You ever think about Jesus getting sweaty? I'm sure he was. The next morning, it says Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. And when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season of figs, he says. Then he said to the tree, may... He's talking to the tree. Jesus can do that, okay? Then he's talking to the tree, and he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say that. In the morning, Tuesday morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And Jesus says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Okay. Just bear with me just a minute. Give me a little. We're talking about Peter, okay? You know, the subdued, quiet. No, okay. You know, okay? You know what I was thinking that if they had cell phones in that day, where you could take a selfie like we do today, that Peter might have said, hey guys, gather around this fig tree and get those roots down there. We're with Jesus, and Jesus, this is the man who said it. You know, he cursed it and it is dried up from the roots. Everybody get in the picture here. We're going to let the world know about this. And taking a selfie there. Okay, so I'm crazy. But Peter was kind of radical like that, wasn't he? I can see him doing that. And him wondering why nobody else is doing that. So what's going on here? Seems a little radical, doesn't it? Some people say that what we've read about here is that this is symbolic of the Jewish nation. You see, more than anyone else, the Jewish nation knew of the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. Just stay with me here. We'll make a connection here. That the fig tree that had only leaves on it, no fruit on it, was symbolic of the Jewish nation. Some people say that's exactly what it means. Because they, more than anyone else, knew of the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah and should have evidence of the fact of that fact in their lives. There should have been fruit of that fact in their lives. There should have been preparation of that fact of the coming of the Messiah in their lives. But while they looked the part and dressed the part, there was no fruit. As a matter of fact, in John 1:11, remember, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Those who should have been most ready were those who rejected him the most. They had the religious appearance of being ready, but sadly, they were not prepared. Now, this may be a part of what's going on here with this, and symbolic as Jesus begins this week, because Jesus definitely let the Jewish people know, your house is going to be left to you desolate. You know, God's moving out, okay? Because of your rejection of God's moving out. There would be a judgment to pay because of their rejection of the Messiah. Keep that in mind. I think that could be a part of the symbolism that's here. But I'd like for us to suggest this morning a life application principle that is at work here in this passage that Jesus wants us to see and appreciate. Now, Jesus is coming along. I like this morning, obviously Edwin was reading from a different translation than what we had on the board, although you probably connect the dots there, connect it all together as you read. But I believe, as Edwin read, it said that the fig tree, he saw the fig tree aside. Was that right, Edwin? He saw the fig tree aside. Well, the fig tree here, he says, was by the road. As you look in the NIV, it says aside. So Jesus, he's hungry, and he sees this fig tree kind of aside there, and it's by the road. But seeing the leaves on that fig tree, he saw the potential. Stay with me here. He saw the potential for fruit on that tree. Is how you know that. Well, the fig trees in Israel, certain fig trees in Israel, the first thing they would do in the spring is put on figs, not leaves. Would put on the figs. There would be fruit there, and then the leaves would come, and then there would be a second crop that would come along later. Christ sees the leaves. He's thinking, aha, fruit. Fruit is already on the tree. But when Jesus investigates, there's no fruit there. So in the case of this fig tree, let me say this. Looks were deceiving, was it not? It looked like there should have been fruit there because it puts on the figs first, then the leaves come on, then there's a later, as we said, a crop of figs. But looks were deceiving. It appeared to be something it wasn't. That is, a productive fig tree. There's no fruit. People come up with all kinds of sayings. I'm sure Clay, being from the western part of our country, Arkansas, just above Texas, but in Texas, years ago, there was a saying, all hat and no cattle. You know what that means? All hat and no cattle? I mean, the guy could buy a nice hat, and he could wear it, looked like he was the owner of a fine ranch out there somewhere, yes, sir. But he might not have any cattle. In Georgia, we might say, well, they're all talk and no game. Yeah? They do say that about Georgia Tech sometimes. Anyway, Eric's in children's. I'm so sorry. Maybe the speaker's on. You know, all talk and no game. Let me ask you something. You ever been disappointed by something? Okay, just thinking. Have you ever been disappointed? Some of you probably, boom, boom, boom. There's things going through your mind just like that you've been disappointed by. Let's just look at some restaurants. Somebody says, oh, you got to go. We went there, and it was just so, so good. And, you know, it's downtown Savannah. Or maybe you get out of Savannah every day. You go to Atlanta. It's downtown Atlanta. And you've got all of this to deal with and getting there. But, oh, you got to go. I know some of you do because I see your Facebook posts, okay? And you're like, woo, looky here. We're here at this place. And somebody has said, this is great. There's nothing like it. And you get there and, ooh, and you're so disappointed. The food is no good. The service is worse. Disappointment. Okay? I've told you about this, okay? I'm going to share you about disappointment. As a kid growing up, I would see all of these signs about Rock City. All of these signs about Rock City and Ruby Falls. There wasn't a barn hardly between Florida and Tennessee that didn't have See Rock City on it or Ruby Falls. I mean, and I'm thinking as a kid, it's got to be the greatest place in the world. Otherwise, there wouldn't be all this advertising about it. Was so disappointed. What I thought was going to be the greatest sight in the world turned out to be a trickle, okay? Just a trickle of water that day. Maybe some days after a huge rain, there's a lot of water falling. And somebody said, hey, look at that. Let's take a picture. As a matter of fact, you know, you see advertisements, you got a lot of water. Another place of disappointment. Mike, Candy, the Kessler family has been close to this, been there before. Nakalula Falls in Alabama. Have you ever heard about that? Yeah. Yeah. You got to go after a big rain in order to capture what you see on the pictures there, you know, in order to experience that. Somebody got a picture on the day after a big rain. I know. I don't think I've ever been there when there wasn't but just a little trickle of water. And you're like, really? Really? I came out here, spent my money to go here. Okay. Maybe it's a person, though. Maybe it's a person. At first, this person, let's just go back a few years at first, or maybe it's your children now. At first, it looks like your dreams have come true. The answer to your prayer has just walked into your life. But this person turns out to be a disappointment overload. We've all experienced disappointments, haven't we? On this day, Jesus experienced a disappointment with the fig tree. He was hungry. He was hungry. And he wanted some figs. And there was no figs on the tree. But as Jesus made his way down the road, here's a life application principle I want us to look at. Jesus saw potential. Jesus saw potential in the fig tree. Life application. Jesus sees potential in all of us. Jesus sees us for what we can be. Jesus saw the fig tree for what it could have been, full of figs, full of fruit. But he sees us for what we can be. God's been doing that for a long time, hasn't he, with people. As you think about Abraham, as you think about Moses and Gideon and the apostles, and especially here a while back we talked about Matthew. He sees a potential in us as his children. He sees us for what our lives can be in him, in our marriages, in him. He sees the potential for what our marriages can be in him. He sees the potential for what our children can be in him. He sees our future for what it can be in him. What we can do with our talents and abilities in him. He sees our salvation, that potential in him. May I suggest to you that we need to be praying, God, help me to see my potential as you see my potential in me. Jesus said, as the disciples questioned him about all that's going on, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Jesus wants us to bring him our hopes, to bring him our dreams as well as our disappointments and our hurts and our failures. Bring them to me and watch what happens as you put your faith in me. Watch what will happen. You know, there's a promise in the Old Testament. It has to do with, I was talking to somebody the other day, a couple of different folks was talking about this subject. In Malachi, God is upset with his people, Israel, and they've not been paying attention to him. They've not been doing the work on God's house that they should have been doing. They've been letting things go, and they've been paying attention to themselves. And so God says, you blaspheme me. And they say, well, how have we blasphemed you? And God said, well, one of the ways is because you've been withholding your tithes from me. You haven't been giving me what I deserve. And they say, how have we done it? They're always questioning God about this. God says, okay, here's what I want you to do. Test me. Try me. In other words, he says, Just do what I ask you to do and see if I will not bless you. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and bless you with so many blessings that you can't receive them. Test me and try me. Well, that's what God, Jesus is saying. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. As we think about our dreams and our disappointments, our hurts, our failures, put your faith in God. Let God be a part of that solution in your life. Bring your hopes and your dreams, your aspirations to God. Because he, according to the scriptures, is able to do more than we can even ask or imagine. Amen? Isn't that good to know? That's what the scripture says. Our God is able to do more than we can even ask or imagine. Going back to the scripture early, Matthew 21, this is what Edwin read for us this morning. Early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, He went up to it and found nothing except leaves. This it says by the road. It says aside. It seems to me like this fig tree maybe was by itself. It's by the road. It was a fig tree that was aside. Maybe it was by itself. In other words, not in the part of the orchard as it could have been or should have been, but by itself, by the road. Life application. It is hard to grow in God and produce fruit in keeping with our potential, isolated from God's people. I want you to hear me that. It is hard to grow in God and produce fruit in keeping with our potential, what God wants us to be and what God calls us to be, and what it can be as we place our faith in Him, isolated from God's people. The fig tree in our story had no fruit. It did not live up to its potential. It appeared to be something that it wasn't. It is hard to grow by ourselves. It's hard for, physically speaking, it's hard for fruit to produce by itself. You put a tree out there by itself, a fruit tree out there by itself. It's hard for it to produce. Why? Because there's no cross-pollination. That's important in nature, for there to be cross-pollination so that it can produce, so it can continue to have fruit and to have good fruit. Okay, play on words here, okay? Okay? It's hard for God's people to live up their potential and to produce the fruit that they otherwise could be producing if there's no cross-pollination. Are you with me? If there's no cross-pollination. You say, what in the world do you mean by that? Folks, we need to be together to encourage one another. That's why Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 is there. Folks were not meeting as they should, and they need to be encouraged. Hebrews has a lot of folks who are discouraged. Don't give up meeting together, as some are, he says. Don't do that. Don't give it up. That's easy to do. And you just miss a Sunday or two and see. It becomes easier and easier. But exhort one another. Encourage one another, he says. Provoke one another to love and good deeds as you come together to exhort one another, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. This cross-pollination, I hope that sticks with you, because that's what I'm talking about, is the cross in each of us as God's people under the banner of Jesus, that we come together and we share the nutrients of the life-giving gospel with one another. As we sing together about what God has done for us, we've done that this morning. And as we pray together about our mutual needs and about our concerns, we've done that this morning. And as we talk to each other about what God is doing in our lives, we need to do more of that. To tell each other what God has done. Let the redeemed of the earth say so. Let's tell each other about what God has done in our lives. There needs to be fruit in our lives, not just leaves. There needs to be not only profession, but there needs to be practice. As we find in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. There needs to be more than just a profession. There needs to be a practice of this in our lives. Folks, where there is no fruit, there is no future. Would you say that is true about a tree? That tree, if there's no fruit, that tree is not going to continue to reproduce itself. There's nothing there. It is true physically. It is true spiritually. We need this cross-pollination so we can continue to bear fruit. Okay. The words that many of you have been looking for. As we come to a close this morning... Let's look at a tree that we might want to be like. No, we do want to be like. A tree, listen, realizing its potential. That's what we want, isn't it? Our potential in Jesus Christ. Look at what can happen. Look at what the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Oh, those mighty, mighty cedars of Lebanon. They're spoken of often in the Old Testament times. Planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. That means more and more to me every day. Okay? They will still bear fruit. I can't talk this morning. Still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. There's a tree that we need to be like. There's an example for us. A palm tree. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Aren't those things beautiful? You know, Victory Drive. All those palm trees down there. And I don't know if it still is, but it used to be when I first came down this here. Oh, you got to go to Victory Drive. Why? Well, the longest palm tree drive in the world is on Victory Drive. I don't know if that's still true or not, but that's what I heard. The longest palm tree drive in the world, right there. Did you know that, Candy? The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. It's tall and, you know, beautiful. Will grow like the cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. That's key. Planted in the house of the Lord. Folks, this can be our story, is what I'm saying. Isn't that beautiful? Planted, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They'll bear fruit in old age. They'll stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. Isn't that, that's where we want to be. That's the potential that God sees in us, that Jesus came for. Listen, this can be our story right here. Not the fig tree of Matthew and Mark that we read about. This can be our story right here in Psalms 92. Listen, Jesus went to the cross because he saw our potential. Jesus went to the cross because he saw our potential. The truth is, some are still planted in the past and are trying to realize the potential that they can only see of themselves and by themselves. Some are still living in the past, hoping for a different result, but it's not going to happen there. As with the fig tree, there's no future in that. So what do we? How do we arrive at that point in our lives where we can realize that potential? Have faith in God. You know what Jesus said? Have faith in God. Put our trust in God. Let our walk be in Him. Let us remember Him on a daily basis as we approach our day, as we go to Him in prayer and we open up our lives to Him. And we're just honest with God. God, here's who I am, and you know who I am. And God, I know that you came. You came. You went to the cross. You started that journey all those 3.5 years. But Lord, as we look at it, as we think about this week, when you began that journey, you went to the city of Jerusalem and the fig tree. Lord, I know that you saw potential in me. And that's why you went to the cross. Lord, if you didn't see it in anybody else, you saw it in me. And you went to the cross that I might realize a wonderful potential in me. In my life. Jesus says, have faith in God. Would you do that this morning? Would you do that? Listen, I don't know. I know where a lot of us are. But I don't know exactly what's going on, because only you and God know that. But would you let Him have it this morning, whatever it is that's holding you back? Whatever's keeping you from realizing that potential that Jesus went to the cross for? Would you just let it go? Would you just give it to Him? And just trust Him. Just trust Him. There's a song that says, His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and set you free. His love can fill your hearts and you will see that it's best to let Him have His way with thee. Would you do that this morning? Who are you? Where are you planted? You planted by the roadside along by yourself, like the tree possibly there, as we read in Matthew and Mark this morning. Not really enjoying very much spiritual nutrition in your life. Or is this you? Planted in the house of the Lord. That's where I want to be. How about you? That's where I want to be. I want to be planted in God's house. I want to be planted in God's house. And if that's not where you are this morning, we encourage you to do that. Give your life to Christ, realizing the blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ. Have faith in God. I challenge you this morning, I ask you this morning, if that's not where you are, do that. Just give your life to Him and see what He can do. That's why He went to the cross. That's what He longs to do in your life and in my life today, if we will let Him. If you'd like to place membership at Oak Grove, just let us know. Either talk to us privately, you can come up here and tell us. If you'd like to become a Christian, just if you'd like to do that this morning, everything's ready. That's fresh water, isn't it, Brother Richie? Fresh water. We heard it filling up a couple of times this morning as it would go down, fresh water there, and it's warm. And if your heart is, and you want to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism this morning, then everything's ready if your heart is. To become a new creature, to be forgiven of your sins, to walk in newness of life. Begin realizing that potential that Jesus went to the cross for all of us for. Or if you're just here and you're saying, you know what, I've been trying to handle all this by myself for too long, and I want to come up before the church this morning, and I just want to ask them to pray with me about some things. You ain't got to be specific, and so long as you are with God, and we can just pray with you. Whatever we can do, if we can help you this morning, you want to come up publicly, won't you come as we stand and sing? Near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream. Close.